So I've got my Great Hymns of the Faith hymnal out here, and I didn't even write down what songs I did on the first volume. So if I repeat myself, please forgive me. Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight rolls a melody sweeter than song. In celestial light strains it unceasingly falls o'er my soul like an infinite call. Such a great, great song. Oh, here's another one. 287. Thank you. upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed. You know, once you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, repent of your sin and trust Him that He paid your sin penalty on the cross of Calvary, your destiny is settled and He'll never leave you. And you are stayed firmly upon Jehovah. Man, that's a blessing right there. Oh. Can't get my book to stay open. Okay. So if you heard the first one, you know that this is not intended to be edited. It's kind of live, like we're just singing and rejoicing and trusting the Lord together here. So this isn't edited. I'm just sitting here at the piano with a microphone and a hymn book. Oh, how sweet the glorious message simple faith may claim. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. Still He loves to save the sinful, heal the sick and lame. Cheer the mourner, calm the tempest, glory to His name. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name.
That's good. He's going to say something about music here coming up in a. I think it might be right about now. By the way, this is Ben Everson, and you can find his channel there. I don't know Ben personally. I believe he's a God-fearing man. I believe he loves the Lord, and he sings hymns, and he sings a lot of good songs for people. And but he makes a good comment that I want to that is kind of the basis of what I'm going to talk about here today from the Word of God that I'm going to show you to try to encourage you. But he says some things that are important here. Then I'm going to get to some other, we're going to get to our Bible study, which we will be into. And the Bible study will definitely go all through the scriptures as we study this thing of making melody in our hearts to the Lord. So anyway, we'll get to that. Let me get playing him again here and we'll get going here.
Oh, here we go. The Lord's our rock, in Him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm. A shelter in the time of storm. A shade by day, defense by night, a shelter in the time of storm. No fears alarm, no foes affright, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land. A shelter in the time of storm. did I do that one on the other one? Because it feels really familiar. It really does. So hopefully I didn't do that before. Well, you got volume 2, version 2 of that song. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Oh, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever.
All right, hopefully he gets to it right here.
And then I looked at that fifth verse, when with the ransomed in glory, and I thought, oh my goodness, I can't leave that out. can't leave out that wonderful verse. Oh, here's one's got some crunchy chords in it, so hopefully I can maneuver those. And cheer the heart, my soul is deep, Lord, I see.
Sorry, I'm fast forwarding through this.
See higher, that's more than light.
I should have had this timestamp for you. I apologize. I thought I knew where it was at, but anyway. Anyway, I could listen to good music for a long time, but I won't get to what I'm getting at today here. But let me play another one for you here that's from him. And by the way, you can find his music. Now, be careful. Some of his music I wouldn't agree with. It according to some people that told me, I haven't heard it, but some of his when he doesn't do the conservative music, there's some that borderlines on CCM. So you got to be careful about that, and you got to have a discerning ear to all musicians, you know, whatever you hear, and be careful. But this is a good song here, Make a Joyful Noise to the Lord, because that's what we're going to talk about today.
Joyful noise.
Make a joyful noise.
Make a joyful noise.
Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands.
Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, serve the Lord with gladness.
Come before his presence with singing, make a joyful noise.
Enter into his courts with praise, make a joyful noise.
Know ye that the Lord, he is God.
He that hath made us, and not we ourselves.
We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture.
Make a joyful noise,
serve the Lord with gladness.
Be thankful unto him, and bless his name.
For the Lord is good.
His mercy is everlasting, and his truth
endureth forever.
His truth endureth,
his truth endureth through all generations.
Make a joyful noise,
make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands.
Make a joyful noise,
make a joyful noise
unto the Lord.
Make a joyful noise unto the Lord.
Amen. All right, so that's a good thing to do. Amen. You ought to make a joyful noise. That's a scriptural thing to do. The Bible talks about that. Good afternoon or morning, wherever you are, or maybe it's later in the afternoon where you're at. But I hope you're doing well here today. I want to be an encouragement to you today. There is so much discouragement in the world today. So much that you and I have to deal with in this life that we live. And so much pressure from the world, so much just negativity and danger and wickedness and vileness. And, you know, I've really had my fill of it here today. I really have, or this week. I've just heard just the most discouraging things in all the world, this week. And, I hate it. But it is the life that we live, and we have to continue on for the Lord. And it's discouraging to hear men fall. It's discouraging to hear about, you know, people falling into sin, people living in sin, people not doing right. And I'm not talking about our church or anything like that. Thank the Lord. We all have our challenges as well, but it isn't anything like that. It's just things that I've heard out there, people that I know that have been touched by the things going on in the world and touched by sin and the sin of others and everything else. It's just, it's very discouraging. Well, listen, I know what it's like to go, let me just talk to you about a few things here. Okay. I showed you, last week, or not last week, last broadcast, I showed you some pictures of the progress that we're making with the studio, and I want to show you some more here. Not anything that's updated, but for others that maybe didn't catch that broadcast, and give you an update about how the Lord has provided and continues to provide, okay? and how we rejoice about that. But I know where to go for that. Let's see here. Let me go to right here. Then I'll go here. Probably on my drive, I think it would be, possibly. Maybe not. I don't remember where that is exactly. It must be in photos somewhere. Anyway, let's see if I don't know if I have that up on here or not. I don't see that there. Anyway, I'll send it to you this way to make sure that I can show you some of these things. Some of these photos and of progress that we've made thus far. Let's see. And I'll put them back on the chat that I have because it's a little bit easier that way, I think. There we go. It's a little bit easier that way. To be able to do things like that. Let's see. Here we go. Let me scroll. Hey, there it is right there. Okay. All right. So here you go. That's my son working with Brother Joshua down there. Oh, I hate it when it does that. All right. Let's see. Is it that way? Yeah, it's that way. Okay. These are just some men working inside there. And there's Lucius trying to look tough there. There's Brother Dave and Brother Lee as they continue on to, and then finally we got that wall up there and all that good stuff, and now we have to fill it all in. Well, to give you an update of how, I don't know who that is, but cute kid. But just to give you an update, since last time we talked, someone actually donated another $2,400 or $2,500, something like that, to our project. And that's good because we just had to write a check for $1,500 for the computer and that Brother Daryl is putting together. And that was after we're getting a really nice computer that's going to be able to handle multiple streams to multiple sites, okay? Brother Daryl and Teresa, they already donated some towards that. So that computer is worth more than $1,500. But they, you know, and I won't get into what they did because that's none of anybody's business. That's between them and the Lord. But they, you know, that's after their generous gift to help us. So we praise the Lord for that and Brother Daryl building it for us. So, but we've got more needs coming, okay? I'm just letting you know this so you can pray about it. And if the Lord lays it on your heart to give, then you go ahead and do that. But I have to install the internet out there and I have to buy repeaters where we're at in the country. And to get that building, get the OPBC studios wired up for internet and doing everything, it's going to cost me about $1,200 is what it's going to cost. Now, that's a one-time fee of like $900 to buy the repeaters and to have them installed. Andrea, I do take Venmo. I'm new to it. It's a new thing. But yeah, somebody sent us something on Venmo the other day. So we do take that as well. So please, you know, pray about what the Lord would have you to give towards that, because we have to finish getting the audio visual stuff, which is going to be a way better setup than this. But by the way, we're being frugal. We're going to have big monitors and things like that, but we're buying all those used from people that have big televisions that are getting rid of them, and they're going to be big, huge, you know, 40 to 50 inch monitors, so I can read off them. So the setup's going to be different. Okay. But we have to pay for all that. We've got to pay for the video equipment, and all of those things that go into that. Let's see Venmo. Let's see. Let me see what it is here. If it's my If it's my email address, it's PastorCooley@iCloud.com. So, because that's how somebody just sent me, was iCloud. They sent it to PastorCooley@iCloud.com. So I'm guessing that's my handle name for that. I'm hoping. Because that's how it was sent to me. Just that somebody had sent me that earlier. So anyway, if you would like to give towards that, we please pray about that. We're still going to need probably with that installation. We've got to finish furnishing the walls and plywood and all that fun stuff too as well. The rest of the audio video, and by the way, all the labor is being done by the men of Old Paths Baptist Church. No, we're not paying for any labor. That's all being installed by us, by our men working together and our church coming together for this. So praise the Lord for that. I want you to understand that we're not like splurging anything or anything like that. We're putting it all together to have I want top quality. And by the way, Brother Dave and some others, they bought some other audio video equipment, and we're going to end up using some of it out there already. They had bought that. Like, we just bought it because it was a good deal and it was good equipment. We bought it like 6 months ago. And then the Lord showed us, you're gonna put that studio out there. So anyway, we praise the Lord for that. But just, pray for us as we put those things together, okay? That we do that and pray for the right deals to come along for things. We're gonna be building our own sound tiles. So we're actually building our own sound tiles there. Because we can make them better and more insulated and stronger and look better and all that kind of stuff. So we're going to be doing that ourselves. So a lot of this work we're doing, I mean, this is not funny to you, but like even the carpet, me and Brother Dave went dumpster diving this store out in this grocery store that took out a section of their grocery store had carpet tiles there, and they said we could have them, so we went in there and got all the carpet tiles, and I mean, we dug them out of the dumpster, and we're using them, because there's nothing wrong with them. But I'm just saying that so we're not like wasting money or anything like that. We're being very frugal with everything that we're doing to get this project going, and we hope to have this project done within 4 weeks. So we have an aggressive schedule. Now, the first couple broadcasts will probably not be live. The first couple broadcasts will probably be recorded. And the reason for that is that we have to be able to figure out the right sound, figure out the right look, the angles, everything that we're doing. Because we want this to look good. We want it to be... I'm not professional. I'm never going to be professional like that. That's not what we're trying to do. But we want the sound to be high, top quality sound. And the audio, the visual, we want the cameras, they're going to be clear and they're going to look good. And they're not going to be like as close up as this and that kind of thing. It's going to be different. So we're going to be, we want it to look nice, though. The Bible says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. So it's not about trying to be some professional, but it's about doing things according to the ability and the wisdom and the grace that God has given us. You know what I mean? It's not, and plus I want to produce videos for you in there that look nice. Okay, think about it this way. You have people that don't know anything about the ministry, right? And you have like Hollywood satanic roots and you have all those other things and Disney, which by the way is a stinking disgusting little pedophile hole of hell. But anyway, we'll talk about that maybe next week. You have all those things, right? But they're not being maximized. And the reason for that is because we're not set up to do that. Well, God has provided years later. It's like this office that we're building. That I always wanted an office, 15 years ago we've always been in temporary buildings and we still are. We're just a meeting house. We don't care about brick and mortar. But this is my home where that studio is going to be. God provided that. It's just amazing. He answered the prayer, right? You know, he answered the prayer to do things, to be able to do that. So I'm kind of giving you a testimony, so I might go long today, but that's okay. I'm sharing with you what the Lord's laid on my heart, what the vision that God has given me. I wasn't planning on doing that, but I'll continue there. But you have to understand, I wanted that, but God showed me that wasn't important, and it still isn't the most important thing. But God taught me to have patience to wait for those things, and I didn't seek a big building. I didn't seek, in fact, much of the house that I have. My wife and I, we thought we were going to just go get a small house out in the country, like the one we had over, and we didn't imagine that God was going to provide that for us. And then when God showed me, when I walked into that suite, that part that was a gym that they used for a gym, and I walked in there and I looked at it, and the Lord started kind of showing me, well, this is your office. This is the place that you're going to broadcast online. You're going to teach from, you're going to preach from, you're going to study from, and it's going to be at the end of your driveway. And I'm going to provide this for you. Right? I'm going to do this for you. And I'll tell you, before I went through depression and everything, I may not have handled that right. But after God chastened me and taught me, the Bible says the Lord tries the righteous. After God tried me with that, and tried me with things and taught me about things and taught me what was the most important thing, which is Him in all things, then God said, okay, I'm going to give it to you. I'm not only going to give it to you, I'm going to pay for it. And I've said this from the beginning, and I'm telling you what, I believe God is going to provide it all. I haven't went in any debt for any of this. We never have for buildings or brick and mortar and anything. We never have. But God has provided it for us. God has met our needs and taken care of us. Right? He's done it all the way. Because we never put those things first as being of supreme importance, that we had to have them. Our meeting house is a very simple meeting house. But we've done that so we were never in debt, so Old Paths Baptist Church could support a pastor and not pay for a building that was $1 million, $2 million building and have to pay for that. But to support a pastor that could just take care of the flock and not have to be concerned with going out and getting other jobs and doing all these. I mean, I started doing that. For 5 years I did that. But then after that, God said, nope, you're going to step out by faith and you're going to do this. And we have, and the Lord's blessed us. You know, God's met our needs. God's taken care of us. You know, and God's sent the men along of this church to help us. And He's also sent you. You've, as much as, you know, the Lord has allowed me to minister to you over the years and to teach you and to help you and to, you know, be a blessing to you and to feed you the Word of God. And I'll tell you what, pastors get an automatic bad rap. If you talk about money, if you talk about anything, well, you're just some money-hungry guy, and you should just go get a full-time job, and you should just go work, and you should go just work outside of the ministry, and you should just ignore your flock, and you should just fill in when you can, and that's just the way that you should do it. Well, I don't agree with that, and I don't believe the Bible teaches that. I believe the Bible teaches there's a time to do that, especially in the beginning. The Apostle Paul did that. There's also a time when the flock needs to be fed, and we have near 40 kids in this church, children. They need a pastor. They need a pastor to be there for them. These families need a pastor to be there for them. And by the way, God's used me to minister to you, to be a blessing to those sheep that are scattered abroad everywhere. So I thank God for that. So anyway, but if you pray for us, I'll be pleased. You don't have to give a dime to us. God will use somebody else. He always does. So I'm not putting the full court press on you. I don't have to. God just provides. He takes care of me. I'll tell you what, it's amazing to me. I'll be sitting here sometimes, and when I used to be here all the time, and phoom, an envelope would come sliding through the door, right? And somebody would mail me money from, like, I don't know, all over the world, California, all over the place, right? It just comes phoom, right through the door, and I just chuckle. And because of the way God's provision is, the way God's care is. Just like this last week, you know, someone paid for the HVAC unit, the ductless mini split that we're putting in out there. You can't have that equipment freezing in the cold. So you got to have something, a supplemental system for that and all that good stuff. But, and you can't have it roasted in the winter, in the summer either, and getting all humid. So anyway, but you know, we have that, right? And then somebody sends money to further along the project. That's $4,000 in a week that God's provided. Praise the Lord. So, and I'm sure God's going to provide more. Actually, more than that, because somebody else gave money towards the computer, you know, and everything. So they helped with that too, which was, didn't have to come out of our pockets, you know, for that. So we rejoice in that. So, you know, if you want to give, pray. If you can't, pray. Amen. Continue to pray for us. Pray that God will send it in somewhere. And He will. He always does. I'm confident of this very thing. And then we do take Bitcoin too, which is funny. I just started doing that, and I've had two people do that. Somebody gave through Ethereum or Bitcoin and all these other cryptocurrencies, you know, and other things. God can use that, right? PayPal, salvationpreacher@gmail.com, all that stuff. So I want to keep you, because we're the reason I'm bringing this to you, and you're going to see me bring this to you. It's not to press you. Okay, but it's to impress upon you in that sense that we are moving forward with this project, and we have a goal to get this done in about 4 weeks. So we're going to be taking pictures. Brother Daryl, I got to mail that. I got to mail that envelope to him here when I leave here. Okay, I got to mail that. I got to remember to do that. It's right there. I hate mail and stuff. It's so hard for me. I'll forget about it and it'll sit there. I just don't mail anything anymore. Everything's done electronically so much. Anyway, but I don't like those fees electronically either. It's just terrible. So whatever. You do what you do, right? Would you take Western Union? Yeah. I think we've done that too. We've taken Western Union. I've also given money Western Union and got ripped off by somebody. But anyway, God knows that was something. Somebody scammed me out of $500 one time. Anyway, but God knows, right? They didn't really. God knows. But anyway, we do take PayPal. We do take that cryptocurrency. We do take those other Venmo. I all that good stuff. So we do take those different. What should checks be made out to? Okay, if you do give a check, here's where the check goes to. Pastor Jason Cooley, make it out to me. And here's the reason why. It's not because I'm getting really rich and I'm doing it. No, it's because we're not a corporation. We're not a corporation. You know? We're not a 501c3. We're not a nonprofit organization. We are just a local New Testament church. So I've been entrusted by the Lord to do this, right? And we're set up as a biblical trust. You could also make it out to the trust if you wanted to. You would have to make it out to Jason L. Cooley, pastor/trustee of Old Paths Baptist Church. Why? Because we're set up as a biblical trust, it's called. So that's how we do things. We're a little different than the 501. Why do we do that? Well, because in the government, we don't listen to them when they say stuff. Why? Because we never ask them for any favors. We didn't ask him for a tax ID number. We didn't ask him for anything like that. The church is the church. Amen. So anyway, that's why we do that. But here it is. Pastor Jason Cooley, 1030 South Highway 3, Northfield, Minnesota. 55057. That's okay, Teresa. I know that. But you know what? Brother Daryl talked to me, and he said this summer he's going to come and visit. So we rejoice in that. Amen. We absolutely rejoice in that, and I'm going to see you all. That's going to happen. God's going to make that happen. I know that, so I look forward to it. I look forward to, by the way, my mom and dad and my whole family, we are going on vacation when this project is finished in May, and because it's been a year since we've been anywhere, and my dad is 78 years old. Good health, thank the Lord. He's had a heart attack, though, and all that a few years back. But he's doing pretty good. But he wants to go to the Grand Canyon. So we're taking a trip out to Sedona, the Grand Canyon, all that. Now, if I'm on your route, and I am geographically challenged to the core, but if I'm on your route and you would like to meet up, my family would love to meet you. We would love to say hi to you on the way. I would love to meet you, pray with you, and as we're passing through. So I'll kind of show you the route we're taking and all that good stuff. But definitely we would love to meet you, okay? I know I've went long, man. I'm going 43 minutes here, and I'm talking a lot. But that's okay. It's Friday, right? So we do that, and who cares? I don't have to stop any time. I got plenty of time. I hope you do. And if you don't, you can fast forward through all this and be like, some guy said he loves me, but my videos are too long. I said, well, that's a matter of perspective. Well, I didn't say this exactly to him, but well, I did say something similar to this, but it's a matter of perspective. Well, why is that? Well, people that drive a truck all day, I couldn't go long enough for them. You understand that? People that don't want to watch television, I couldn't go long enough for them. If I was on 3 hours a day and they had time while they were doing their work and everything, they'd listen 3 hours. While they're working in the yard or they're doing this, why? Well, because they're not watching television. They're not watching the world's, they're not listening to the world's music. They're not doing all those things. So they're like, I'd rather listen to you. Right? I'd rather. Go ahead. Sometimes I have went 3 hours. I'm like, yeah, I'll go longer. But anyway, most people don't mind. Some people do, and I get it. You can fast forward through it. But I enjoy this. I also enjoy talking to you. I'm not some information encyclopedia that just opens his mouth up and just dumps information. I'm actually a God-fearing man that loves you and wants to talk to you. And, you know, Now, I will say this. There may be, when I get, my daughter's going to help me in the future with some video editing and things. She said she's interested in helping me with that. So we may split some things up and give an option for people to have like shorter bursts of different things and clips and everything in the future. We'll look at doing that. But I'm not going to change what I'm doing. Because that's what makes this broadcast unique, right? Most people don't do that. They don't interact with people. I will not stop interacting with you. In fact, when we get to the studios, Brother Bicey and I, he's going to help me somehow. And possibly once or twice a month, Brother Bicey and I are going to do a call-in. We're going to set up a format to where you all can call in, and we're going to do a broadcast, call in broadcast. Okay, so we have vision for the future. We have ideas and things that we want to do for the future. Yes, Carl, you can send that to me because I love things like that. Right. I will have you guys calling in and talking, and when we're talking about different topics and everything like that, it's going to happen because Brother Bicey is going to MC for me. He's going to help me navigate the calls and do that. So we are going to be expanding this platform. Now, let me say this to you. Also, because I'm sharing all this vision. I wasn't planning on doing this, but I'm excited about it. You have to understand, I went through 4 years of depression. I never got excited about anything. So it's fun to be excited again, right? It's fun to be excited again. Amen. God restores your joy. And we'll talk about that here. We'll get to that. Amen. We're going to get to that. We are going to stream on multiple platforms. So all those other platforms that are not as popular as YouTube, we're going to stream on. I love Sermon Audio. I appreciate those folks. But yeah, Rumble, Odyssey, BitChute, all of them. Yeah, all of them. We are going to be streaming multiple streams out. That's why we're buying. Okay, let me explain to you. That's why we're buying the computer that we are. That's why we're getting the service that we are. That's why it's costing me so much to do this. Well, not me, the Lord's work, right? It's God's work. But that's what we're doing. So we can. So when they kick us off of one, we just keep kicking. We just keep moving, right? We'll keep going on these other platforms, and we'll just not miss a beat. And it'll all be on our website, right? So you'll be able to go to our website right here, which we are going to revamp, by the way, because we're going to make this look sharp. But anyway, real sharp. We're going to put some money into this, too. That's going to be something we're going to have to do. But anyway, we're going to make it look nice and do a bunch of stuff with it. But as you see here, here's like live stream, right? Okay. This is, we're going to have live streams on all, we're going to try to get on all of them, Mary. All of them. We're going to try to multicast through a bunch of different streams. That's what we're going to do. Through a bunch of different ones. So, that's the goal. And that's what we're going to be working on, all right? So we will work on those, and we'll have smaller videos and different things. We'll be doing a lot of different things, okay? But you just hang on. The Lord will give wisdom and guidance to everything that that we're doing here, and take time, right? It'll take time to do all those things. But anyway, that's why now that's time for the push, you know, to get things moving. And then, of course, in the winter time, I may add a broadcast. I may go back to doing 3 broadcasts a week in the winter. So I there's a good chance that I'll be doing that. But we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Okay. And but you pray about that, all right? I'll probably go back to doing that and all that good stuff. So anyway, lots of fun stuff on the way. Not to mention all the other things besides number one, loving my family and caring for them and pastoring and everything else. That's why I need a vacation. It's been a while, and I can tell my brains are starting to need a vacation. So they do. Generally speaking, I should try to get away twice a year. It's not because I don't like to be around you. It's just that your brain has, Spurgeon talked about this. He said your brain, we overwork muscles and we give them rest. But in our brains, when you overwork your mind, especially if you have ever had any PTSD or mental health illness or anything like that, that you can really hurt yourself. Anyway, man, I've rambled on about all this stuff, but it's important stuff. It's good stuff, right? I hope it's a blessing to you as you see the Lord work. And by the way, that's the chat that we're going to add. You see this? Let's chat. We're going to add that. Oh, you can't see that because I think my head's in the way there where that box is. But anyway, there's a chat thing down there. That's going to be there. All right? So you continue to pray for us that we press on. And by the way, if we are on your route on vacation and you want to meet up, let me know. I'll show you. Let me show you real quick, and then we're going to get started with our lesson today. All right? Let's see here. Let's go to We'll say Northfield, Minnesota to Sedona, Arizona. Let's do that. Okay. There we go. Mine pulls it up all the time. This one won't. Well, let's go to Google Maps then. Shall we? Let's go to Google Maps. All right. There we go. So here we are. Here we are at Northfield. Right? Coming down here. We're going through Kansas City, Albuquerque, all the way through here to Sedona area. That's where we're going to be, in that whole area there. All right? Anyway, so that's where we're going to be at and traveling through. So if you're anywhere near on that route, you let us know. All right, and we'll try to see if we can meet up. That'd be a blessing. Unless you're a crazy psychopath, then don't do that, okay? Anyway. Are you ready? Let's get into it. Mark. Mark chapter 14. There is one verse. One verse that we're going to look at here. And here it is right here. And it stuck out to me. And then the Lord took me to other places to show me exactly what the teaching was here. All right, what God was trying to teach us here, what Jesus was. Now here it is. Are you ready? Here it is. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Now, Jesus is in the worst possible place of his time, okay? Of his life here on this earth. Listen to what he is saying. He's saying that one of you shall betray me. He says, and in the evening he cometh with his 12. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful and to say unto him one by one, is it I? And another said, is it I? Jesus is going, I'm not even going to talk about the Garden of Gethsemane. I'm putting together some messages on the Garden of Gethsemane. Okay? Because, my goodness, what Jesus went through, it just touched my heart today as I was going through that in my Bible study, in my devotions this morning. What Jesus went through in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I understand because I've been through, I don't understand that depth because he was exceeding sorrowful. He was very heavy. I know what it's like to be exceeding sorrowful and very heavy. I know what it's like to be betrayed like that. Not to death, thank God. But I know what it's like to be betrayed like that. It's devastating. My soul is exceeding sorrowful, he said, unto death. Look what it says here, and I'm not going to get into this today, but I'll give you a background. This helps you understand the depths of Jesus' sorrow. He said, and he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed. That sore is tender as the mind, easily pained, grieved, or vexed. Vexed. Sore. Vexed. Sore. Amazed. Look at the word amazed. It means confounded with fear, surprise, or wonder. Do you understand that? Sometimes you think that Jesus doesn't understand. Sometimes you think, I look in this world and nobody around me understands the sorrow, the grief, the fear that is welled up in my heart. The depression that I'm in. No, that's not true. Jesus does understand that. See, God used depression when I went through it for 4 years. God used depression and darkness to draw me closer to Him. Notice what Jesus did in darkness and depression. He drew closer to His Father. You and I have to learn that same thing. Now, I'm not going to go into that. We're going to focus more on this verse. Because during the midst of Jesus' sorrow and depression and discouragement and fear, His heaviness, right? Through it all, I noticed something. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out of the Mount of Olives. If you're not careful, you'll rob yourself of what the Lord has given you. One of the tools, one of the antidepressants that God has given you. God has given you a spiritual antidepressant to get through depression or any trouble of the mind. Or any trouble of the flesh. I didn't say that it will take it away from you. I said that He will give it to you to help you to get through it. Now, we're not going to talk about specifics on why God does what He does. We'll get to that later. In another broadcast, when I talked about the Garden of Gethsemane, we'll get through that. But what we're going to talk about here is this principle of singing through sorrow. This principle of making melody in your hearts through sorrow. Spiritual songs and hymns and spiritual songs, you know, and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. God gave you something to help you. And this is that music, that very thing. God gave us beautiful hymns and music and the Psalms. This is your prescription right here. God's people can sing in sorrow. Hymns are praises to God. They are acknowledgments of His sovereignty and of His glory and of His grace. This is literally one of the saddest times of Christ's earthly time. It is. Yet He still taught us through grief, betrayal, being wounded in the house of His friends, all of His friends leaving Him, all of His friends deserting Him. He still sung a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. Jesus literally sings in the midst of all the betrayals and denials. He left us this example to follow, to praise and to sing. When we're distraught, when we're discouraged, when we're depressed, when we're going through trials. Twice the Bible teaches us hymns for that heartache, right? Twice the Lord teaches us to sing praises unto His name. And many times over in the scriptures, and we're going to look at a bunch of Bible verses today. So get your King James Bible out. That we're to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Through heartache, through pain, through suffering, we're to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. That's what God wants us to do. Paul further instructs us of this in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 19. He says to us, he says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves. Notice the concept here that he talks about. Proving that you're not insane to talk to yourself. Right? You're to speak to yourselves. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Making melody in your heart. But let's look at that phrase first of all. Speaking to yourselves. This is a scriptural principle for people, saved people that are in depression, that suffer from mental health illness. God's people, I want you to turn to Psalm 42. Because these are lessons for you in the dark. Right? Psalm 42, verse 5. David is going through absolute terrible time of mind. Trouble of mind. And he says here, my tears have been my meat day and night while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? My tears are so, I'm so vexed and my heart is so broken that all I can do is say, where is my God? And my tears even cry out. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night while they continually say unto me, where is my God? Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, I went to them with the house, went to them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. You mean David went to the house of God and he was depressed? When he should have had joy in his heart for being in the house of God? The same man that said, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Yes, he was utterly and completely in a room full of God's people, and he was absolutely depressed. And it's possible, friend, as a Christian. Let me help you with something. If any preacher ever tells you that Christians don't get depressed, he just hasn't got depressed yet. And he hasn't read the Psalms. And what I want to do is help you with any mental health illness issues as a Christian that you suffer and that you go through in your mind, that you and I are hope dealers. We deal in hope. All through my depression, what God taught me, and at the end of that and through it and still now, is patience brings on experience and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. For the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Hope maketh not ashamed. We're hope dealers. We're not dope dealers, right? Why don't I recommend drugs for you? Because I'm not a dope dealer, I'm a hope dealer. That's why. I deal in hope. I'm very skeptical about anyone taking drugs for mental health as a Christian. I'm not a doctor. I'm not trying to play one on television or on the internet. But what I am saying to you, very emphatically, my friend, is you be very careful about taking any dope to help you. Now, I think there may be times when you may have to do something if, like, tragedy, awful tragedy comes and you're in a state of shock. And somebody may have to administer something to you, but you should never be on drugs. By the way, let me tell you something, and I'm not a doctor, and if they don't like me, and if they want to come after me, you take your best shot. I got the Lord. You go ahead and try it. God will take care of you. I got this Bible. Amen. I ain't afraid of any of you. You'll never get me off this book. By God's grace. Now, I want to warn some of you. If you have family members and people, and they have mental health illness, and they're on antidepressants, I'm not telling you to take them off of them. I'm not a doctor. You need to go get help to do that. But let me tell you one thing. Stop letting people with mental health illness administer medicine to themselves. Don't do that. Ever. If you are and you know family that are taking medication like that, do not let them administer medicine to themselves. You administer it if need be. But do not let, I don't care what a doctor says, I got a Bible. And you know what it says? It says that somebody else gives them that. Give strong drink to them that are ready to perish, right? And them that are of a sorrowful heart, you know, like they just saw somebody die and their mind's in shock. Well, we don't do that now. We have other things that can be given to people to calm their nerves. What I'm saying to you is it should never be administered by the person. Why? They have mental health problems. They should not be administering medication that deals with mental health problems. You know how many people have OD'd on that? No. Think. Be wise, therefore. Be wise. Anyway. And you know what? People ain't gonna like it. But you know what? I've been doing this for years, and people have never liked it. Here we go. All right, Psalm 42. You don't take people that are in a sorrowful state and a depressed state and have them administer medications to themselves. No. Foolish. You're asking for somebody to die. Remember that. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted me? What is David doing? He's talking to himself. David is instructing himself. David, by the way, did you know you're to take the Bible and I'm using my electronic Bible. I'm looking for my other one around here somewhere. I don't like not having my Bible right there. It bothers me. So I'll take Jacob's waterproof Bible. I can't see it. The words are too short. Or too small. My other one in here? Here it is. There's my good old trusty sword. I'll play that Patch the Pirate song for you. My good old trusty sword. Amen. There it is. There's the Bible. That's it right there. That's my preaching Bible right there. Amen. I love that, man. You want to see something? I'll show you something. You say, Pastor, maybe you're just making that up that the Psalms are your medicine and that you... Let me show you something here. You see all that? You see all that? You see all that? Let me show you again. I'm going to show you more. You see all that? This is how I survived. Right there. That's how I survived. I'm not exaggerating in the least bit. I lived in this. I lived in it. It's how I survived it. It's how I survived almost losing my mind. It's how I survived it. I'm not preaching anything to you that I haven't lived. And by the way, even if I did, the book's still right. But I'm just telling you, I'm preaching to you what God did in my soul. I'm preaching to you how God sustained me, how He kept me alive. Psalm 42:11. David asked himself again, "O my God, my soul is cast down within me, and therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites and from the hill of Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me. And my prayer to the God of my life, I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God?" I remember going through that. I'll never forget the hotel room I was sitting in with my family when my mind went into utter shock and everything else. All that happened to me. I remember getting into this book. My wife can attest to that. I got into these psalms. My children can. I read them to them. I talked to them about it. I underlined them. I went through it. And I went through it for years. Amen. God is good. God is good. Amen. Praise God. So David, he talked to himself. He instructed himself. He taught himself. You got to do that. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." I shall yet praise him. See what I mean? Hope dealers. That's who we are. We deal in hope. When I look at somebody in depression because of what God has brought me through and because of this book, I can say, no, God will bring you through it. God will put a floor to your misery. He will not allow you to sink in the depths. By the way, I got another message for you. Oh, I found one from when I was in deep depression in 2019 that I never preached. And I'm going to preach it to you sometime. It's called Raging Waves and Fiery Trials. Anyway, praise God. I'm excited, man. You know, David corrected himself. David edified himself. He spoke to himself the word of God. You know what? There's going to be some times when you go through depression and things like that, that your mind is going to tell you everything that's wrong about you and breathe threatenings and fearful things against you that aren't true. And you have to, and gonna your mind is going to tell you things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. And you have to put that down. Here's perfect proof of that. That you must put it down. Wait, I'm supposed to believe everything I feel and hear in my mind like that when it's about me. I'm just supposed to think, well, that must be true about me. I must be this. I must be that. I must be that. No. No, you believe God's word. And you speak to your own heart. Amen. That's good stuff right there. Very good. That'll help you. That's what'll help you in the middle of the night. Amen. I know what that means. All right. Songs in the night. I know what that is. So David speaks to himself. And Paul instructs us not only to speak, but to sing. Look what Paul says. He says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So you're to speak to yourselves. There's another verse for the application to the church. But here, right, you're to speak to yourselves psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You're supposed to. You're to speak and sing those songs. God gave you these psalms. Have you, when you feel that way and your mind is going that way, do you ever do that? Do you ever say, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. He tells himself to hope in God. He didn't just believe every indictment. That his mind made against him. But he believed God. Amen? He believed God's word above all those things. So we are warned here that we are to speak psalms and hymns. So here's the psalms. Take, for instance, this psalm. Psalm 113. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same. The Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God who dwelt on high? Right? Reminds me of this song. Children sang this song. It was really good. I'll have to play it for you sometime. They sang it as well one time. We were at this old church down south, and we're at the Sandy Creek Church over there, and they sang that song. But you know what? You're to sing songs. You're to sing songs and psalms and spiritual songs, making melody. We're going to talk about that a little bit. You know, that's interesting, that making melody. If you look at this in the Bible, melody, let's look at the word melody. Melody is four times in the Bible, right? It's four times there. It's a spiritual thing. I believe it is. When it's right, you know, I believe it's a spiritual thing. When you have the right melody, let's look what melody means. Let's look at the definition of melody. It's an agreeable succession of sounds. A succession of sounds so regulated and modulated as to please the ear. To constitute melody, the sound must be arranged according to the laws of rhythm, measure, or the due proportion of the movements to each other. Melody differs from harmony as it consists of the agreeable succession and modulation of sounds by a single voice, whereas harmony consists in the accordance of different voices or sounds. Melody is vocal or instrumental. Right? To make melody in our hearts to the Lord. You know what that is? It's to praise God, Webster says, with a thankful disposition, with a joyful and thankful disposition. Amen? That's what God wants us to do. So David speaks to himself, right? David makes melody in his heart to the Lord. The Apostle Paul, Jesus sung that hymn and went out on the Mount of Olives. Jesus did that through his sorrow. He taught us to sing in sorrow. Right? It's a natural vent for emotions, singing is, especially for Thanksgiving, when you praise God and you're thankful to Him, right? Jesus teaches us together to sing praises unto Him. You know, He said in Colossians 3:16, look at this. By the way, you're to praise God not because you feel good, but because He's good. Do you understand that? You're commanded to praise God. You don't praise God. Well, I feel really good, so I think I'll praise God today. No. You praise God because He's worthy. That's why you and I praise God. We praise God because He's worthy to be praised. Amen? We don't praise God because we feel like it. We praise God because He's worthy. Sometimes I don't feel like it. Well, what does that got to do with anything? Who said you had to feel like it? You have to be obedient. Amen. You're going to have to get over this whole feelings thing. If you think you're going to be a successful Christian when you're following your feelings all the time. Well, I'll only obey God when I feel like it. You do remember you have this flesh, right? That flesh don't feel like doing nothing but bad. Evil, bent on hell, right? Melody is four times in the King James Bible. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear thy melody, the melody of thy vials. They were backslidden in Amos chapter 5, and God said, you know, take away from me your ceremonial singing and all your other, you don't care. You don't care about the Lord. You're living in sin and wickedness. Right? That's melody. Look what the Bible says here. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Amen. By the way, Colossians 3:16. Let's look at that. Look what it says here. Whoops. Hey, that's the wrong color. Won't change the color for me. Anyway, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it. Right? Let it. So then that means that I have to actively walk in the Spirit. And there are going to be times, the Bible says the Lord trieth the righteous. God uses your afflictions to try you. Not to disown you. He uses your afflictions to try you. That's what He does with them. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You gotta let it. You can't be walking in the flesh. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms. Teaching and admonishing, it says, right? In all wisdom. What does that mean? Teaching and admonishing. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. In all wisdom. right? What does that mean? That means that you let the words of Christ correct you, teach you, edify you, admonish you. The words of Christ should correct your spirit. I can't stop invading thoughts from coming into my mind. I can't stop bad thoughts from coming into my mind sometimes. They come from the heart as well. I can't stop that. I can't stop mental health illnesses. I can't stop that. I can't stop PTSD, but what can I do? I can obey the Lord. And I can let the word of Christ dwell in me richly. I can do that. Why? Because God said I could. By His grace, because I'm a child of God, I have the Holy Ghost. I can let the word of Christ dwell in me richly in all wisdom. In all wisdom! I need wisdom for my situation. I have to apply biblical wisdom. When I'm going through depression and my thinker is broken, this is what I try to explain to people that are going through depression. Your thinker is broken. Therefore, your reasoning is broken. Any mental health illness like that, when it is strong, right? When it is strong, your thinker is broken. That it doesn't compute right. So its conclusions are not logical. For instance, when you have PTSD, if you have depression, if you have anxiety, you have what's known as negativity bias. That means you always go to the worst case scenario right away. Right? That's a negativity bias. So about anything. So for Christians that have PTSD or have depression or have any of those things that they battle, the worst thing that can be for them is if they're a fake and they're going to hell. That's the worst possible thing. I mean, or that they're going to grievously sin against God in the most worst, heinous way ever. Why? Because those are the worst things that they could possibly do. They're the worst things. Or they're an apostate. Or they're a reprobate. Spurgeon battled that. The man that preached the gospel more than anybody ever in his sermons and everywhere. He would go through fits of that where he would doubt. He would think that he lived a sham life and he was a fake. And he wasn't real. I know what it's like. To feel that way and to go through that. But he had to always go to Christ. He had to let the word of Christ dwell in him richly in all wisdom. To teach and to admonish. Admonishing means reproving, warning, counseling, directing. Wait a minute. So I'm to take the Word of God, I'm to take the Psalms, and I'm to take biblical hymns, right, that are good, strong, built in the on the Word of God. Let me show you. Let me read you some here. This hymn book is called Psalms and Hymns and Spiritual Songs, right? And these songs are just unbelievable. They're awesome. A blessing. But you read these songs and you sing these songs. Whosoever meaneth me, right? Let's see. Let me give you another one. My anchor holds. Amen. Though the angry surges roll on my tempest-driven soul, I am peaceful, for I know. Wildly though the winds may blow, I've an anchor safe and sure that can evermore endure. And it holds, my anchor holds. Right? Or Charles Wesley's Arise, My Soul, Arise, Shake Off Thy Guilty Fears, The Bleeding Sacrifice in My Behalf Appears. Before the throne my surety stands, before the throne my surety stands, my name is written on his hands. Amen. Right? Under his wings my faith hath found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one, his wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that Jesus died for me. Right? We have an anchor. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life when the clouds unfold their wings of strife? These are people that had deep emotional, physical pain. They had doubts and fears and uncertainty and depression and discouragement and all kinds of death they faced, assurance issues of their salvation, all kinds of things, right? And what they do, they wrote about it. And by the way, in this songbook, all the Bible verses are there for what they sang about, right? Amen. How about, let's see. Oh, worship the King, all glories above. Oh, gratefully sing his power and his love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Amen. Isaac Watts's hymns. Man, are they ever... Oh, Isaac Watts. My favorite hymn. My favorite hymns are by Isaac Watts, I think. How about this one? I sing the almighty power of God. I sing the almighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at his command and all the stars obey. Amen. Good stuff. Amen. Lots of good songs like this. Revive Us Again. These are hymns that people sang from broken hearts. Right? Come thou fount of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing. Call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, I'm fixed upon it. Mount of God's unchanging love. Amen. I like the last verse that most hymn books don't have in it, by the way. Oh, that day when freed from sinning, I shall see thy lovely face. Clothed in blood-washed linen, how I'll sing thy sovereign grace. Come, my Lord, no longer tarry. Take my ransomed soul away. Even so, Lord, come to carry me to realms of endless day. See how these songs just speak to your soul? They're meant to encourage you. They're people that were looking forward to that day when they'd be home with the Lord. That God would see them through all their trials. And that they wrote these and wrote with broken hearts. Right? Sometimes you think these people wrote these songs. Oh, well, they were just really strong saints and they never had the trials I had. They never suffered depression and physical ailments and being on their deathbed and the loss of loved ones. Most of them did suffer all those things. That's why they wrote it. They wrote them out of broken hearts. They wrote them out of hearts that were tried, and they found God to be faithful. And that's why I'm here today to tell you the same thing. I have found God to be faithful. I have found Him always to be faithful. I have found Him never to let me sink deeper than what His mighty hand could pull me out of. I have always found Him to be faithful. And you hang on and you trust God because He is always faithful. Amen. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Good songs. Good songs to sing. Good songs that you allow the Lord to use to minister to your heart. Amen. And by the way, the psalms that you sing the songs, right? The Psalms, that you sing those as well, right? That one song that I played for you in the beginning, Make a Joyful Noise, that's a hymn. That's all a hymn. That's all a psalm, the whole thing is. Oh, for a thousand tongues to tell, to sing, right? Holy, 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 be thou exalted. A mighty fortress is our God. So many good hymns that you ought to be feeding your soul with. You ought to be, you know, that's why I play music. I never used to play music that much. I didn't. You can ask my wife. I really wasn't big on it. I did not play music that much. I really didn't. But the Lord taught me to love music, and he taught me to sing it, right? And to sing it myself, and to play it.
Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God will lead us to that blessed promised land. But he'll guide us with his eye, and we'll follow till we die. We will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, all the saints of God are gathering home. We will tell the story, how we've overcome. We will understand it better by and by. Oft our cherished plans have failed, disappointments have prevailed, and we've wandered in the darkness, heavy-hearted and alone. But we're trusting in the Lord, and according to his word, we will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, all the saints of God are gathering home. We will tell the story, how we've overcome. We will understand it better by and by. Temptations, hidden snares, often take us unawares, and our hearts are made to bleed for some faultless word or deed. And we wonder why the test, when we try to do our best, we will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, all the saints of God are gathering home. We will tell the story, how we've overcome. We will understand it better by and by.
Amen. We will understand it better by and by. In Colossians, when we start with verse number 10, and to put on the new man. The new man needs to sing hymns, right? And put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian nor Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in you all. Look what you're to do, friend. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. You have to put it on. What I have tried to explain to people is this. If all you've done in your Christian life is walked away from a sinful world, if all you've done is walked away from a sinful world, you walked away from fornication, lasciviousness, pornography, witchcraft, and all those things, but you haven't done this, you're missing out. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity. Got to put on charity. Put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. You got all these people talking about sinless perfection and they never sin and everything, when the Bible says, well, if you say you have no sin, you're a liar. and the truth is not in you. Anyway, you don't live, practice, plot, plan, live in sin as a professional sinner. No, that's what you did when you were a lost person. Now, when you fall, when you sin, you repent, and a righteous man falleth seven times and riseth again. Right? But what does he say? And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. You want a Christian perfectionism? It's charity. That's what God is saying for you to learn. He's not talking about being sinlessly perfect. Should we all want to be? Yes. You and I should never want to sin. We should always want to be pure and walk with God completely, never to sin. We should want to be perfect. But perfection in here is a maturity. Charity is the bond of perfectness. It shows maturity when you can love people. You know, in a local church is that way. We all have, even in this church, we are very unified, right, in many ways. But there are subtle, slight differences that we have on different things. But you know, the Bible says that charity is the bond of perfectness. It's that bond of maturity. It's that refining maturity. And if you don't have enough of it, you're going to get it. You know how God's going to give you charity? He's going to afflict you. And then he'll teach you to love. Yep. He's going to give you the rod of correction. He's going to teach you to love people. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. If you're God's child and you have the Holy Ghost of God in you, you will be touched with the rod of affliction so you learn to love others. You have to, because you have to grow up in him in all things. So you're going to be, God is going to afflict you. And that affliction is going to tenderize you. You know, like when you get a wound and it hurts. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's how it works. That's how he did it with me. God gave me depression. He touched me with that depression so I would learn to be tender with others. I would learn more tenderness. I would be touched with the feeling of their infirmities like Christ. God wants his bishops to be like Christ. He wants his pastors to be like Christ. So he afflicts them for the benefit of the assembly. And so they're a partaker of his holiness. Amen. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. See, let. Wait, it doesn't automatically happen? Of course it automatically happens. It must. It must automatically happen. No. No, you got to mature to that. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. How can I stop that? Through my foolish pride, through my stubborn rebellion, through my fleshly desires, through following the flesh and not walking in the Spirit, through not accepting the things that God wants me to, and fighting God. And let the peace of God. So he said there's a few things in this verse that he's telling you to let happen. Right? Look at that. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. There's another one, wasn't there? Right? Verse number 10, let's see. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom. In all wisdom. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with grace in your hearts to the Lord. By the way, that grace in your hearts to the Lord, that's the same thing as melody. Grace puts a melody in your heart. God will put a new song in your heart. That's grace. Grace does that. That melody in your hearts. Look at that word. Check this out. Okay. Look at that word. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Look what this says here. Look at this one. So that's Ephesians 5:19. So see how the King James Bible defines itself for you? It has a built-in dictionary. Well, what's that melody? What is he referencing in melody? What does he mean by that? Well, here's what he means by that. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Right? Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Wait, so that melody is a spiritual thing in this sense? Yeah. It's grace. God will put that song in your heart. And you got to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing you, right? Teaching, admonishing, correcting, building, strengthening you when you're going through that. So I told you I had to live in the Psalms, and I was going through that. The Psalms and the book of Job, I had to live in there. And boy, did I ever. If you look at this, like I showed you, I lived in there. Somebody looked at it and said, I don't think there's anything that's not underlined in there. Well, there's a few. Not too many. I hung on every word. Right? I hung on every word. I had to. Right? I had to. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Amen. Melody is grace in the heart. Melody and grace in your hearts. One is congregational, the other is to yourselves. You have to praise God through all depressions, through all heartache, through all pain, through all suffering. Right? God shows us to do that. God shows us to do that. You know what else is in the Bible? I'll show you. I think this is neat. Seven times. Watch this. Look at that. Seven times. Joyful noise. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. Psalm 81:1. Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Look at this. You need to do it with instruments too. Look what he says here. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Make a joyful noise. Blow up the trumpet. Proving that God wants you to rejoice and sing with instruments of praise to His name. Right? To make a joyful noise. Psalm 95:1. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. Amen. That's what God wants us to do. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Amen. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise in the Lord, all ye lands. You've heard this song before. I just played it for you. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endureth to all generations. What does it not say here? Because I feel really good about life and everything's going great, I'm going to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. No. You're making a joyful noise in the Lord for what He's done. For who He is. Right? So you heard that psalm, right? This is that song that you just heard, right?
Make a joyful noise.
Make a joyful noise.
Make a joyful noise.
Make a joyful noise.
Make
Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands.
Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, serve the Lord with gladness.
Come before his presence with singing, make a joyful noise. Enter into his courts with praise, make a joyful noise.
Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that and not we ourselves.
There you go. So that's the song right there. That's the psalm, right? It was put to music, right? So you're to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. David's example, Jesus' example, Paul's example, all commandments for weary pilgrims. God uses the psalms, right, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody into your hearts to the Lord. God uses that to encourage his saints. He uses that to build them up in their faith, to strengthen them through all their trials. So you ought to have a good hymn book. If you don't, you need one. Here's a good one. Order this from Melody Publications. This is a leather-bound one that was a gift from somebody. Brother Scott got me this. This was a gift from him, but they make regular ones and all that good stuff. So they're wonderful gifts. Does anybody on here have that melody music hand? Does anybody have this hymn book right here? Psalms and Hymns and Spiritual Songs. Does anybody have that from Melody Publications at all? I know people from our church do. Let's see. How about this one? Let's read this one. Here's the person that wrote this one. Stepping in the light, trying to walk in the steps of the Savior, trying to follow our Savior and King, shaping our lives by his blessed example. Happy, how happy the songs that we bring. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. Right? Now, listen to this. By the way, these are nice because, and I did a review on this. If you've never watched my review, I did a review on this and you on this hymnal. And this is why I recommend this hymnal to everyone, that everyone ought to have this. But this was written by somebody named Eliza Hewitt. She went through a severe spinal affliction beset her, suspected to have originated from being struck with a slate by a student. This injury restricted her movements to her home for many years. Desiring to be useful to her church, she wrote poetry for use in the primary department. A gradual improvement manifested over time, and she ultimately returned to the classroom, serving as a primary Sunday school teacher, active in Philadelphia Elementary Union. This isn't somebody that never went through any trouble. This is somebody that went through great trouble, great affliction, right? She wrote another song called Sunshine in the Soul. There is sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright than glows in any earthly sky, for Jesus is my light. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, while the peaceful, happy moments roll. Eliza Hewitt, as is stated, penned these lines in a proclamation of gratefulness. Suffering from a spinal injury she had just been relieved of, a cast that she had endured for 6 months when she recorded these words. After many years, her condition ultimately improved, and she continued a life of activity in the service of the Master. See, these aren't people that... Sometimes you may think that these people wrote these in strength. No, these people wrote these hymns in great weakness. Right? Think about this. P.P. Bliss died in a terrible train wreck and he wrote this song before he died. Listen to what he wrote. This is like right before he died. Listen to this. I know not what awaits me. God kindly veils mine eyes, and o'er each step of my onward way, he makes new scenes to rise, and every joy he sends me comes a sweet and glad surprise. Where he may lead, I'll follow. My trust in him repose, and every hour in perfect peace I'll sing, he knows, he knows. And every hour in perfect peace I'll sing, he knows, he knows. One step I see before me, 'tis all I need to see. The light of heaven more brightly shines when earth's illusions flee. And sweetly through the silence came his loving, follow me. Where he may lead, I will follow. O blissful lack of wisdom, 'tis blessed not to know. He holds me with his own right hand and will not let me go, and lulls my troubled soul to rest in him who loves me so. Troubled soul. So on I go, not knowing. I would not if I might. I'd rather walk in the dark with God than go alone in the light. I'd rather walk by faith with him than go alone by sight. When Mr. Bliss lost his life in the terrible railroad wreck at Ashtabula, Ohio, his trunk reached Chicago safely, as it had gone before by another train. In his trunk was discovered this hymn. Mr. Bliss had rearranged the words of the poem to some extent and had composed the tune. Sentence by sentence, the words are full of pathetic interest in connection with the author's tragic death so soon afterwards. He was writing his own death hymn, and he didn't know it. Troubled. But God took care of him. Amen? God took care of him, just like he'll take care of you. Right? "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." Right? "My faith looks up to thee." "Simply resting." Annie was 14 years old when her first rhymes were published, but it was later in life before she, at the encouragement of Pastor Robert Lowry, began to pen sacred verses. Her most prolific work have been translated into a multitude of languages, bore the title "I Need Thee Every Hour," and a testimony of the Alliance. Annie revealed her humility of heart and mind. "Whenever my attention is called to it, I am conscious of the great satisfaction of the thought that I have permitted to write the hymn, I Need Thee Every Hour, and that it was wafted out to the world on the wings of love and joy rather than under the stress of a great personal sorrow with which it has so often been associated in the minds of those who sing it. For myself, the hymn was prophetic rather than expressive of my own experience at the time it was written, and I do not understand why it so touched the great throbbing heart of humanity. It was not until long years after, when the shadow fell over my way, the shadows of a great loss, that I understood something of the comforting in the words I had been permitted to write and give out to others in my hours of sweet security and peace." See how it was reversed? God would use it later. Right? Amen. So, all these hymns and spiritual songs, live in the Psalms when you're going through that. Speak hymns and psalms and spiritual songs, right? Speak those to yourself. Sing those songs to yourself, right? These psalms here, read the psalms, live in the psalms, make your devotions about the psalms when you're going through things like that. But then also, you know what you need to do? You need to sing the hymns too. Sing hymns and let the Lord speak to your heart through hymns. Because God wants to. God wants to use music to encourage you. Right? And it has to be the right music. And we talked about that. It has to be music that's biblical, that's biblically based. Right? All right. Well, listen. I'm done with what I was going to teach you on here. If anybody has any questions or anything they'd like, or comments that they'd like to make, questions or comments, I'll play a song here. And if you want to say hi, and all that good stuff, we'll give you an opportunity here before we take off.
Tempted and tried, we're oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long, while there are others living about us, never molested, though in the wrong. Farther along, we'll know all about it. Farther along, we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. When death has come and taken our loved ones, it leaves our home so lonely and drear. Then do we wonder why others prosper, living so wicked year after year. Farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. Faithful till death, said our loving master, a few more days to labor and wait. Tolls of the road will then seem as nothing as we sweep through the beautiful gate. Farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. When we see Jesus coming in glory, when he comes from his home in the sky, then we shall meet him in that bright mansion. We'll understand it all by and by. Farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by.
Amen. All right. Well, I hope you all have a good weekend here, and we'll be working tomorrow on the project out there when Brother Dave gets off work, so it'll be towards the evening. We usually work late into the evenings on Saturday night to get a lot done, so you keep praying for our project. Keep praying for the work that we're doing. And, thank you, by the way. Let's see, like three people just donated, to our work there. And I appreciate that. Would you please pray for a little toddler named David who recently had heart surgery, and he's now in the hospital being treated for fluid around his heart. And, pray for his father, Jacob, as well. This is somebody that listens to us, a brother in Christ, and he just requested prayers for them. So please remember little David in prayer, that God would be merciful to them and that he would heal him and touch him. Please do that. So thank you for those also that gave to the work and the project. I appreciate that. Keep praying about what the Lord may have you to do. If you haven't been able to give to that, pray about what God would have you do, and that the Lord would just continue to bless us and work on this and get this all finished, so we're excited to get in there and get things done. I'm looking forward to it. So Anyway, God bless y'all, and we'll probably Sunday morning. I'll be preaching Sunday morning. A message called Days of Noah 2.0, Days of Violence. It'll be another PowerPoint. Days of Noah, Days of Violence. We're going to talk about that a little bit. And then Sunday afternoon, I will be teaching from Martyrs' Mirrors. Baptist history again, the 7th century martyrs of the faith. So we'll be talking about that. All right. So God bless you all. Take care. We'll be uploading more sermons onto here. I think we've got a few that we need to send over from sermon audio, so we'll do that here. But thank you for all your prayers and your giving, and thank you for listening, and I hope it's been a blessing to you. And share this with other people that are struggling. It'll help them. It'll encourage them, okay?